Take our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. If you have not been on Wednesday nights the last few weeks, we've been going through a series. We've been calling it a prayer journey. And we've looked at so far we've looked at six different things to consider putting into our prayer time, and to help us to be able to have a quality prayer time, also to help enhance our prayer time. And tonight we're going to go over a few more of those things. And I know I've had a lot of positive feedback how God's been working and helping, and I pray that you take these things with you. Once again, there is no magical formula in this thought, but what the idea is that we're going to give you 12 different things that you can consider praying and spending time in your prayer time about. As you do that, if you average 5 minutes on these 12 things, then it'd be an hour. And we talked about how Jesus came back to Peter that night when he was sleeping, and he looked at Peter and said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Went back out and prayed again. He came back and found Peter sleeping again. And it's like I said, there is no magical thought when it comes to an actual prayer time and the amount of time. I think it should be spirit-led. I don't think it's something you should go and take a stopwatch out and that stopwatch at the end of 5 minutes stop and then start the next thing. That's not the intention here at all. It's instead to give you some things to help your prayer life and help your prayer life grow, and also to help give you quality in your prayer life when it comes to that. So we'll see if we can get the screen to work. There it is up there. For some reason, it keeps on bouncing off. If you want to get the lights up here in the choir loft so they could see it a little bit better, that would be wonderful. There we go. So it's a prayer journey, and that reference that gives you up there is talking about Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus came back to Peter. He was under his most distressing time as a human being. Not that he was worried, not that he was anxious, but it was a horrendous thing he was going through in the garden. He even talked about how he sweated great drops of blood, and he looked to the three, James, John, and Peter, and says, "Look, could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And we preached this message before as an introductory part of the sermon for the series. Are we able to spend quality time with God? The answer is yes. Do we? And then when you have that question, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can you not take time out of your life to spend quality time with the Creator of the universe? And so it's a prayer journey. We're going to go through 1 through 6. We're going to go through it fairly quickly. If you see something, if you're interested in something, let me know. At the end of the series, our plan is to give out the 12 different steps and give you some verses that go along with it so you can take it with you if it'll be a help to you. I had someone introduced to me to this thought of the 12 different things a number of months ago, and I've taken it and I've changed it, rearranged it to the way that and the Lord's been helping me through it and has helped enhance and grow my prayer life to where it's become a very refreshing and enjoying time as it was before, but the Lord has helped me. So let's look at these things very quickly, the ones we already learned. First one was praising. And my remote doesn't like me. If you come on Wednesday nights, you know that it skips over there sometimes. Number one is praising. And you say praising, what does that mean? That means having the right perspective of God. When you come to God and you're asking him for different things, you're coming to him praying, you've got to have the right perspective of him. If you take time to consider his attributes, if you take time to consider who he is and who we are, all you're going to do at the end is you're going to realize that he is God, he is worthy of all praise, and he has everything under control. And as we consider and we have the right perspective of God, then we're going to take the worship off of us and the worship off of what our needs are and the worship off of what we want, which is so many times what prayer time is for some people. It's all about me. It's like God's some type of genie in the bottle. If he gets rubbing the right way, he's going to give you what? Nah, that's ridiculous. He is the God of the universe, and like Mr. Humber just saying, who am I that he's even going to listen to me? Who am I that he went to the cross for me? But he does care, and he has given us promises in his word. So praise. The Bible says in Psalms 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise, glorify me. So if you spend some time just praising the Lord, and this is easy to do. You look at the qualities of the things that he has, his attributes. We've gone over this already, but if you remember that he's all-knowing and that he's all-powerful and that he's everywhere, but he also is a God that's infinite and is a God that doesn't change and a God that's faithful and a God that's gracious and a God that's merciful, and you consider all these things and you praise him from these things, he's the Creator. He only does good for us. You take a few of those, and once again, you can spend a lot of time on it. And I don't think there's anything wrong getting your heart set and recognizing who God is, because that's the proper way to go in prayer time. Second thing is the best way to start. Second thing is this word waiting, which I know might be something that's a little bit new for some of us. It is a biblical thing. We made a case for it. It's found in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But it's also a silent surrender of ourselves before the Lord when we're going to prayer. It's just coming to this spot and saying, Lord, you know, I want to give myself to you. This is a time I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to speak to you as the word has told me to do, as you desire. And during this time, it's not a time of even listening to God, but there's some consideration of all the things you just thought about. It's easy to just rattle off, you know, God's all-knowing, God's all-powerful, God's this, God's that. But taking a few moments of silence to set it in and surrender your soul to the Lord. And as I told you before, one of the things I do when I'm doing this, I consider I'm entering into the presence of God. It's holy ground. I'm communicating with the Lord of the universe. And sometimes that's something that just takes a few seconds to sink in. And I don't know about you, but most of us live busy lives. If you don't, good for you. But most of us had a lot of things on our hearts and a lot of things on our minds. And it takes a minute or two or multiple minutes to just prepare our heart to get ready to pray. And we don't want it to be something we rush through. We don't want it to be something that becomes some type of mystical thing that you're, you know, having a seance. That's not it at all. It's getting our hearts and minds ready to have a quality time together with the Lord. You recognize who he is. You have a silent surrender of yourself and your soul to the Lord. The third one is one that we're probably familiar with. Once again, skip confessing. Confessing. And this is important. Confession is important. When we confess our hearts and our sins to the Lord, we agree with God with the things that we've done that was wrong, and we recognize that that sin hurts our fellowship with God, and that God even says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that he's not going to hear our prayer, so there's no sense praying. If you got some type of sin in your heart and sin in your life that you just do not want to do anything with and that you just want to let it sit there, that means that sin means more to you than God does, and that's where the prayer gets pretty much stops. And you say, Pastor, that seems kind of harsh. Well, that's why if you're not sure, if you want to make sure your heart's in tune, your heart's right, you look at this prayer that's found in Psalms. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You're confessing to God, you know what, Lord, I need your help. Many times I'm thinking that I do okay. Many times I'm trying to remember the things that I've done wrong. That's not it for me. Usually it's pretty easy. I did this yesterday and I need to get that right. I'm sorry, Lord, I could have been better at this. I could have done this better. But it's confession. It's making sure that our hearts are in tune, making sure that he's number one, and that even though we have failed and we failed often, and that he still loves us, and we want to confess that to him, and we want to bring our hearts into a right relationship with him. And let me encourage you, don't wait till the next day to do that. If you know you've sinned, God convicted your heart, you need God all throughout the day. Confess that, you know, get away from that. Don't want to do that again, and just confess that to the Lord. And the wonderful thing is, he says that he's going to be faithful and just to forgive us of that. So praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, the next day, the next morning, you might have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to search me. So I go into this prayer time, Lord, I recognize who you are. My heart's ready. But I don't want anything to be in my heart that's going to stop me from having a quality time with you today. I want our fellowship to be good. I want to make sure everything's right. Sometimes when I have a problem with someone or someone has a problem with me, that's usually that way around. Somebody's upset with me about something. I say, I want to make sure we're right. What is it that's going on? What can we do to work out? Because before we're going to go any farther in this, we need to make sure that we're okay. And the difference between me and somebody else, it could be my fault or it could be your fault. I'm sure most of the time it's my fault. But with God, it's always our fault. He's not going to change. He's going to be the same. We're going to have to come around to his agreeing. The fourth thing is something that may be a little new, but we've talked about it before. It keeps on skipping there. Scripture praying. Scripture praying. It is praying the promises that God has given us. And you say, well, do you see that in the Bible? Well, we looked at Nehemiah, the story about Nehemiah and how he went back and he prayed the promises, but also Moses did it, Paul did it. There's different times that they would go before the Lord and he would say, Lord, this is what you said in your word. This is what I'm trying to do. And that's, you know, there are so many of these. And as you're studying your word, studying the Bible, I gave you a number of examples when we went through that point on that Wednesday night. But call unto me and I'll answer thee. That's, you know, Lord, you said you're going to answer me. Lord, you said you're going to show me great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. You know, and book of Proverbs, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct the paths. God, I want you to direct my paths. I'm trying to do this, this, and this. Lord, you've promised me this. So many times in our prayers, we begin to discuss and we begin to tell God how we think he should do things. But the difference is there's power behind scripture praying. There's power found in the fact that the Lord says he can take all things and make them work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Why is it powerful? It's not my mind. It's not my thought. It's God who said that. He is faithful and he's just. Forgive us of all sins. It's God that has said, you know, if you delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give thee the desires of thy heart. It's not what we think or what our positions or what our ideas are or what we think that we're entitled to. It's God saying, here is my word and I want to help you. And we pray that back to him. We say, you know, that if we go out bearing that precious seed, he say, doubtless we'll come again. And, you know, bearing the fruit there. And I know not all those were quoted perfectly, and I understand that, but I think you get the point here. Scripture praying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what I'm trying to do, Lord. Lord, will you keep my heart and mind? You've promised me if I do it this way, Lord, and you're just reminding God of your promises. You're reminding him, Lord, you've told us these things. I know you're a God that cannot lie. And if I'm missing something here, Lord, search me, show me, because I need your help. The fifth thing was another thing that might some people might consider a little bit different or a little bit odd, watching. Over and over, though, he mentions the word watch in the Bible. He did in Ephesians chapter 6, 18. We looked at Matthew chapter 26. And that idea of watch is spiritual alert. This is something that's new for me when I was going through prayer time as I was studying and reading the different authors when it comes to prayer. They brought this idea of watching out. And you say, what's that word mean? It means that we're spiritually alert during our prayers. I don't know about you, but sometimes during our prayer time, what happens is we lose our focus and we kind of drift off, or something comes, the cell phone beeps, or something comes up in your mind that you got to take care of. And if you don't write it down, or if you don't do it right that second, then you got to come back. So being spiritually alert, and that's where it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And that's what Jesus is asking Peter to do that night. He says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not be spiritually alert to what was happening? Earlier they had told him that one of them was going to betray them, and that he had also told him that he was going to the cross to die. He had even told Peter, you're going to deny me tonight. And he says, could you not be spiritually alert for this short period of time? And so when we get to our prayer times, when we get to our prayer closets, I think it's important to understand that we be spiritually alert for that portion of time. Realize that this is something that is guarded, something that is coveted in our hearts and our lives, that we don't let anything else get in the way of this, that we are going to spend time with God and we're not going to let anything stop that. Now, once again, there are things that are going to try to press you and other things that are going to try to pull you away. But there's three things that we looked at about being watching about. First, spirit-led. It's important that our prayer, that we watch to make sure it's spirit-led, that it doesn't become selfish, that it doesn't become mundane, the idea that we're just going through the motions. But at this point in time, we say, can you, Lord, please lead this prayer? Lord, I don't want it to be about what I want. Lord, I want my prayers to be something that glorifies you. I want the prayers to be the way that you want it to do. I don't want it to be selfish. I don't want it to be physical. Lord, I want to communicate with you, and it's not something, you know, mystical. There's the Spirit of God that's interested in you, and interested in you leading and directing you. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. And he say, I want it to be a Spirit-led prayer. I want it to be something that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding in this. And we're going to look at some things tonight, you know, things that we can ask him to help us with. One of the things about the attributes of God, that God has increased my knowledge of him as I begin to praise him. And the attributes, God brings more things to my mind. He brings some things connection. And it's like, man, that makes sense. What's that? This Holy Spirit of God is teaching me to how to praise him in even a greater way. But being spirit-led, next thing is that we need to be aware there is an enemy. aware that his enemy. I think we should live our lives with the awareness that there's an enemy that we watch and that we are always on guard because there's a devil out there. And because there's a devil out there, there's certain things we're not going to do. Because there's a devil out there, there's certain things that we are going to do. And so it's important that even during our prayer time that we are spiritually alert, that we're watching, and that we realize there's a great need. We're getting ready to go to interceding as the next step. Most of you know that was here last week. Needs are great. We need the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and make us and mold us into what he wants us to be and show us and demonstrate to us what he wants us to do. As I mentioned before, that it's good to have a piece of paper and a pen there with you so that way you can, if the Lord brings something to your mind, you can write it out. Or if there is something that you have forgotten to do the next day, the day before, and you know that you're going to get in trouble if you don't, that's going to weigh heavy in your mind. Write it down. Leave it there. And ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, put that off until you get done here. There's something important going on. And so the need is great. You know, we talked about considering the needs that are across the world. And when we come to interceding, we're talking about praying, and we're talking about going to God on behalf of others. And like the quote that the one preacher talked about is that you're not down here in heaven, you know, trying to get your will done in God's, you know, God's life. Instead, you're up there, you're interceding for the individual. You're up there with and trying to work with God to help that individual out. It's not like you're trying to get something. Instead, you want to work with God to help that individual out, and you're entering a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle, praying always with all supplication and prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto all with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we gave that argument how we should pray for one another. There it says for all saints. Other spots that talked about praying for our leaders and praying for our church family, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And we looked at some different things that we pray for. I think I put that up there. Different things, how to develop a prayer list is what we spent last Wednesday night on. You know, Pastor, what do you mean interceding? What am I supposed to do? And this was some of the things on the prayer list. You know, pray for your family. We talked about different things, how to pray for your mates and pray for your children and your extended family, how to pray for your church. Praying for your pastor, praying for one another, praying that God would bear fruit for the laborers that are there and the ministries that are there and the missionaries that are there. Interceding is one of the heavy lifting things that you get the chance to do and go on behalf of your church family to God and say, God, I want to help. There are certain things that we can't do to help physically, but we can do things to help spiritually. Pray for your country. And the Bible speaks about praying for your leaders. And we talked about turning away from, you know, national sins. And I talked about just a few. I think last week talked about abortion, talked about homosexuality, this and that. And when I get in the car, when I get to the house, I ask my family sometimes. They don't critique my sermons, but sometimes I ask them how things went. And they start saying, Dad, you should have preached more about those national sins. You should have talked about alcohol, and you should have talked about cigarettes, and you should have talked. So they were saying I said, well, that wasn't the point of the message, but it was, there is a lot of things that America needs help with. Also, he talked about how to pray for difficult situations or special needs. And that's an important one. That's an everyday one. I told you before that on the list, and if I'm doing what the Lord, I believe, wants me to do, I pray through the church roster every day. And I do it just through the names and remembering the families. But then I break up the certain days and pray specifically even more for the church families one by one. And it's important that there's some special needs there that, God, I need your help here. This is a very difficult situation, God, I need. And so those are interceding. So step number 7, which is the first new one that we have here. And I want you to look here what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 first. Look what it says in verse 16, a familiar passage of scripture, something that someone can even use as a scripture praying verse. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So here's the point, is that we can come boldly. He doesn't even just say, you know, we'll think about it if we're going to help you or not. God is speaking to us in his word, and he says he wants us to come boldly. Step number 7 is petitioning. Petitioning. You can use the petitions, the idea of supplications, but this is the idea that we bring to God our own personal needs. So we've gone through the fact that we know who God is. We recognize that he's the one in control. We praise him for his attributes. We take time to get our hearts silently surrendered to him, our souls surrendered to him. We confess the making sure that our heart's right with him. We pray scripturally, and we scripture praying to him. And then we watch, then we intercede on behalf of others, and then we bring our own personal needs to him. The Bible says that we should come to him. The Bible even says in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Here it tells us that we can boldly come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, it is asking is the rule of the kingdom. It is a rule that will never be altered in anyone's case. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to be had this rule relaxed in our favor. God will bless Elijah and send the rain on Israel, but Elijah must pray for it. If the chosen nation is to prosper, Samuel must plead for it. If the Jews are to be delivered, Daniel must intercede. God will bless Paul, and the nation shall be converted through him, but Paul must pray. Pray he did without ceasing. His epistles show that he expected nothing except by asking for it. The petitions is important because it is an expression of helplessness. It should be present in our every day in our prayers. I know some people say, well, this is the easy part. This is the selfish part. This is the part where we get to start telling God what it is that we need and what it is that we want. And that's not it at all. We've already gone through all the different things. We've seen God and we understand who God is. Now we're coming with an express dependence. We're coming to him and saying, God, I need your help. God, I need your help in every area of my life. And so as you develop your prayer list of things to petition God for, the first thing I do on my prayer list is spiritual needs. It's under this petition list, it's spiritual needs. As I go to the Lord, I ask him to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God, I want to be filled with your Spirit today. God, I want wisdom. Lord, I want understanding. And like we looked at the passages of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, what a great way to pray for other people, a great way to pray for yourself, that we would bear fruit to his account. So we talk about the spiritual things, and there are scriptures that can help us with that and show and say, Lord, as I need help spiritually. Next thing on my prayer list when I come to this petition area, and I know we could spend a whole night talking about this. We could spend a whole night talking about each stop. So because of that, we have to hurry through this a little bit. The next thing is relationship needs. Relationship needs. We have relationships, as mine are. You know, I'm a child of God, and I'm, you know, a husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a pastor. I'm a church member. I have an extended family. I'm a son. I'm an uncle. I'm a nephew. There's a lot. So I pray for my relationship needs. I pray that God will make me the best husband he can make me, and that I need God's help for that. I'm tired of trying to do it myself because I fail. I'm tired of trying to do these things on my own. And that's what the petitions are. We're going before God Almighty, the God that is able to do all things, and saying, God, I can't do this. And what a petition is, God, I am utterly dependent upon myself. That is so much different than give me, give me, give me. That is so much different than saying, Lord, I expect this and I want this. And I think when we give our petitions, he tells us boldly that we can obtain mercy and that we can find grace in a time of need, that we can be specific of our requests, and we can expect God to answer our prayers based off of his promises. But so many times selfishness kind of roots its way in there. And as selfishness roots its way in there, it becomes not our prayer to God, but we begin to preach to God. But that's not the intention. It's an utter dependence. God, I need your help when it comes to my relationship with my wife. I want to be the right father. I want to be the right pastor. I want to be the right church member. I want to be the right American. I want to be the right son. I want to be the right, all those different things. Then I also pray for health needs. Health needs. You know, God says, give us this day our daily bread. What he's doing there is he's telling it should happen daily, but also he's talking about the things that are key because of the fact that we need our help in every area. Health needs. Sometimes I have physical issues that I ask the Lord to help me with, whether it be sickness or long-term issues or short things. And then the other last thing I put on my petitions list, not only is it spiritual needs, relationship needs, health needs, physical needs. physical needs. These are things that we turn around. There are things that we need help with. There are times when I ask the Lord to help me financially. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. Lord, this is something I desire. And there's nothing wrong with unselfish desires. There's nothing wrong with wanting something. And the Lord can change your heart. That's what prayer does. It changes you. But there's nothing wrong with asking for things. He tells us to cast our cares upon him if we have a care. And we should begin our petitions by asking the Holy Spirit to help you claim only those desires that will bring special honor to the Lord. Think about that. As we go to this petition time, it's important to say, God, I want these things to bring glory to you. That's our purpose here, is to bring glory to God. So as I'm praying and I'm asking for things, Lord, I only want the Holy Spirit to claim those desires that will bring special honor to the Lord. Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to help me in my being spirit-filled so the rest of the world can see that I have a God that I serve and he deserves to be worshiped and praised. I want my wife to see in my heart and my life, I want them to see Christ through me. So God, they'll glorify God because she knows what I was like yesterday and there's a change. It's not about what I've done, it's about what God's done. And if God will heal a part of me or if God will provide a physical need, I want God to receive glory and I want God to receive honor in that. That's the purpose of the prayer as I'm petitioning to God. God, help me to bring glory to you. And God, these are things that I'm interested in. These are things that I need. As he says here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Our prayers are not just saying the same prayer over and over and over and just thinking, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I got to do. No. It's a petition before our lovingly Heavenly Father that wants to work in your life. And sometimes it is praying repetitively because God is trying to change us. We need to be specific in our prayers. We don't need to just say, Lord, bless me, or Lord, help the missionaries today. But when we become specifically interested in a certain need and say, God, I want you to intervene right here in this situation with this prayer. Please help me here. And guess what? When God does that, you know who gets the glory? God does. But when we turn around and say, Lord, bless me, and God does something special, and then we say, well, that's something I did. And as I told you before, on your list that's there, and once again, the list can be long, can be short, but if they're special, especially in difficult situations on that list of interceding, if you would just write down next to when God answered that prayer as you're going back over, Lord, thank you for how you helped me here. God, thank you for what you did here. Thank you for what you did there. It is so amazing to remember how we thought things were so bad and so tough as we were bringing our petitions to the Lord that we didn't think we were going to make it the next day, that we didn't see how God was going to see us through. But as we are faithful and we record the answers to prayers, then we'll give God glory for it. Okay, let's go to the next one. And once again, we could spend a lot of time there with the petitioning. Let's look at the next one is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, I think we would all agree that we should be thankful. I think that's pretty obvious. We should give thanksgiving to the Lord. We should praise the Lord. We should be thankful for the things he's done for us. And there's some different ways that I'd like to continue on when it comes to this thanksgiving. It's an important part of it. It's something more than just turning around and saying, okay, God, thank you for what you've done. Now, praising and thanksgiving is similar, but there's a difference. Praising the Lord is praising him for who he is. Thanksgiving is thanking him for what he's done for you. But because of who he is, he's done these things for us, but they're two different things. Don't use your time up here for thanksgiving, but instead use your time up here for the praising to remember who he is. Understand the attributes of God. Understand who God is, the character of God, because that will get your heart ready for when you know that he's holy and you spend time meditating on the fact he's holy. You come to that confession part. You know what's going to happen? Those things that you didn't think was wrong, you're going to say, man, that is sin. That is wicked. And no longer I want to be that. Isaiah, when he saw God high and lifted up, what did he say? He said, woe is me. And as you consider God and the attributes of God, but if you spend all that time thanking God, you're not going to consider him as much. Consider who he is. Spend that time getting your heart ready. And then you come to the spot and say, Lord, I know I want to be right. But this time of thanksgiving is a time of praise, and it's a basic element that deserves our attention during our prayer. Basically, thanksgiving is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for blessings he has bestowed upon us. These expressions may be mental or they can be vocal. It says in Colossians 4:2 that prayer, continue in prayer and watch. We looked at those two, but look at the same, in the same with thanksgiving. It's with thanksgiving. It's the precise position for thanksgiving on our prayer schedule that may vary. And when you think about the different stops, you can move thanksgiving pretty much anywhere on that list. I like to do it after petitions. And I think the idea of moving it behind the petitions is the idea that we've just asked God for certain things. Now we're going to remember all the things that God's done for us. We're going to remember all the things he has done for us and what he has provided for us and what he has done for us. One of the things I find interesting in the scripture is that Jesus oftentimes thanked God. He thanked the Lord. You think about it, when he was breaking the bread and the fishes, what did he do? He took time to thank the Lord. He gave us an example. When he was at the Last Supper and he was getting ready to break that bread, what did he do? He thanked the Lord. So if Jesus, the Son of God, is going to thank the Lord for the things that have been provided, he's going to confess those blessings. And that's when it says, you know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that our prayers should have thanksgiving in them. You say, okay, that's good. Do we do it? I know sometimes we do pray for we thank the Lord before we eat our food. And I think that's a good thing. And the Bible talks about, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Go ahead and let's take our Bible to Psalms 116. Psalms 116 gives a good picture of this. I like this thought behind Psalms 116. So as you're trying to develop a prayer list and trying to help you to have equality, it improves your prayer time possibly. Some different things that I'm thankful for, and I break it down this way. First thing I say I'm thankful for is my salvation. And I consider some of the metaphors that go along with that. I was in darkness, I'm in light. I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed. You know, there's a lot of different great metaphors you can use that. And there is ways that in your prayer list, you can have a prayer list for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, different scripture praying that you can have, different attributes you can think about, different things that you can be considering when it comes to thanksgiving. But I'm always thankful for my salvation. Upon my salvation, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. But then I continue on the gifts that come with salvation. Aren't they wonderful? You think about the Holy Spirit of God. I tell him, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Or I tell the Holy Spirit, you know, thank you for, you know, it being dwelling in me and, you know, leading me and guiding me. I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I praise the Lord for the Bible. I'm thankful for, and it keeps on going. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for prayer. I'm thankful for the person who told me about Christ. I'm thankful for my church. But I think about spiritual things first. And because when I remember all those things that God has done for me, salvation, man, everything else doesn't really matter. All those petitions I just asked him for, you know what? You've given me enough already. That's the right type of mindset. So many times you read people and you read in the past, you read autobiographies or great Christians of the past that would say, man, I fell and broke my arm. Thank God I only broke one arm. They weren't mad and they weren't upset. They broke their arm. They're thankful that they didn't break. I think it was John Wesley that wrote in his diary one time. He says, I broke my arm today. Thankful it wasn't my head. And it was just, you know, I didn't break my head. You know, and so there are things to be thankful for. Because why? Because we go all the way back to the beginning. It's because he is God and he deserves all praise and he can work all things together for good. You go all the way back there and you come to this moment of thanksgiving and you just say, Lord, I have so much to be thankful for. Then I consider my family, and I put the spiritual things, my family. I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank my Lord for my sons. I thank the Lord for, you know, my extended family. I thank the Lord for my church and the ministry that we have here. I use the word mine, not the idea I think I'm possessive of it, but I'm part of it. And I'm thankful for my church, thankful for the opportunity that God gives me to minister, and I'm thankful for the ministry that's in there. I'm thankful for my Christian friends that's inside my church. Inside of that, with one thing I didn't put on there, I noticed on my interceding, I have a list of pastors and churches that I'm familiar with, and missionaries that I know personally that I don't pray for all of them every single day. Some I do, some I don't, but rotate that list around, so I'm always praying for them on a regular basis. You can see how your prayer list can grow. You can see how your prayer list can take, you know, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's not that. It's the fact that we don't take the time to do it. These are all important things. These are all good things. And you can have a quality prayer time with the God of the universe, and we can spend time communing with him. I had you turn to the Psalms 116. Look at Psalms 116. Look at verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? It's like, what in the world am I going to do? And there's a couple things, but look down in verse number 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The most basic thing I can do as I consider all the things I'm thankful for is I can offer to him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I can take the time that it takes to give thanks to God. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will not make my life so busy that I do not spend time to at least watch with him for that 1 hour. As Jesus was looking at Peter, and he's trying to teach him something about himself, Peter thought he was so righteous, he thought he was so mighty, he was willing to die with him, he was willing to go to jail with him. And Jesus says, all I'm asking, this is what I want you to do. Watch with me 1 hour. And so here's the idea, are we willing to do the things he wants us to do? Once again, we'd be willing to do the big things for God, I'd be willing to be a martyr, but he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So you go to Thanksgiving, and obviously the spiritual things, the family things, the church-related things, and there's physical things. You think about the great physical things we have. Many of us live in a house. Many of us have a nice house, probably nicer than we need. Many of us have a vehicle that's probably nicer than we need. Many of us have clothes to wear. Many of us have food on the table. Many of us, if not all of us, have reasonable things. Some of us have even more, and I'm thankful for that. I feel like I'm totally blessed. I sit and I look and I consider about all the wonderful things God has given me. It makes my wants a lot less because I have the right heart. But we should be thankful for those things. We shouldn't feel bad about having those things because God's provided them for us. God wants us to have those. But at the same time, we should make sure we're thankful. Okay. Let's head on to number 9, and this one might scare you a little bit, and I had mentioned this to the men yesterday during a men's prayer breakfast, singing. I don't know how many of you have ever sung before during your prayer time to the Lord, but it is something that is many of the old saints would do. And it was amazing that I saw missionary after missionary and preacher after preacher that would talk about putting singing into their prayer time or the devotion time with the Lord. One put it this way, the gift of language combined with the gift of song was given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music. Think about what it says in Psalms 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. We're coming before the presence of God when we pray, aren't we? If you go and you look at the book of Psalms, at bare minimum, there's 41 different psalms that talks about singing to the Lord, and it's talking about an individual singing, not just even a public singing. I think both are found scripturally, and both are scripturally, but when we're entering into the presence of God, guess what? It says, come before his presence with singing. While many believers would freely participate in a congregational singing, few had discovered the joy that comes with singing during prayer. And this is something that is new for me. It's not something I have done before until I began to study this. But this is something I can honestly say I probably enjoy just as much as anything else is praying. And when I'm praying, it's my singing. One missionary put it this way. I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. Concerning the power of song, another missionary put it this way. I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it, and so he slips out of the room more or less. When there is a true song, prayer rises more easily, more spontaneously. After one has left those wings, words, and music carries one out of oneself into the upper spot with the Lord. You think about what it talks about in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. In Ephesians 5, 19 talks about making melody. It talks about spiritual songs. And I just think that many times when we sing songs, I looked a little bit tonight and I saw some of you use your hymn book. Some of you don't use your hymn books. Some use it because they don't know all the words, and that's me. I don't have the greatest memory when I'm there. And sometimes I'll open up the song and I'll look at it. But when I'm getting there in my prayer time, and I'm singing to the Lord. And let me first of all say that sometimes you can sing out loud, sometimes you shouldn't sing out loud. It's supposed to be a private time. I joked with the men yesterday, that's why they call it a prayer closet, because you can go inside the closet, you can shut the door so nobody can hear you. And that's to me, that's something that's good. And I love just singing to the Lord. Doesn't matter if I'm off key. Doesn't matter if I'm, Lord knows, he gave me the voice. It's a sweet smelling offering to him that I just want to praise him. And there's some great songs. And so why don't we look at a song real quick, and I'll show you. I'm not going to sing for you, but let's go to what we looked at, page 146, It Is Well With My Soul. So here's a couple ways. You say, Pastor, what type of songs do you sing before the Lord? You know, you might think this is kind of weird. It shouldn't be, because the Lord speaks to us. I let the Holy Spirit decide. He reminds me, he tells me the songs, and he leads me. If there's a song that I am issued the day before or during that day, I'll write it down to use that the next day. But inside many of these songs is so much doctrine and so much encouragement that when you're getting ready to pray and you've already gone through, you recognize who God is, you've spent silent surrendering of your soul, you've confessed, you've scripturally prayed, you've been watching, you've gone through your interceding, you've gone through your petitioning, you've gone through your thanks. It is, I think, a natural order now to want to praise him with song. And you consider the different songs. Now, you find it interesting in here, it talks about making melody. That gives the idea of making up your own songs. Not all of us are as talented as Mr. Todd of writing his own music. So, but there are things there that in making up melody and spiritual songs, you think about Paul and Silas, they didn't have a hymn book down in the Roman prison cell. They were out there singing the songs that they remembered. So there are psalms in the Bible that you can sing. You go over there, that's what the psalms many times were, songs that were sung. But I use a hymn book often. Actually, what I use is my tablet. I look up the lyrics on here. Two different reasons. Number one is because it's easier than carrying a hymn book around, and most of my prayer stuff's on here. Secondly, because when I don't remember the tune of the song, I listen to it first, somebody else singing it, so I can get the tune of it, so I can make sure that I'm at least, maybe not on key, but at least know how the song is supposed to go. But think about it, the song, some great songs that we heard tonight, Draw Me Nearer, we heard, and man, if you just go through and read those words, and as you're praying, and as you're looking at this, and this is another great song as well, My Soul, When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way, When Sorrows Like Sea Billows Roll, Whatever My Lot Thou Hast Taught Me to Say, it is well with my soul. It's, you're praying to the Lord, you're singing to the Lord, and you're saying, Lord, it's well. And it's all okay. And you look at verse number 2, and I know verses 1 and 4, and this is a really familiar song. You go to some other songs that you don't know as well. They have so much doctrine and so much good things that are written in there. And I'm not saying they're inspired by God and the idea that they're infallible and that they're without mistake, like I believe our Bible is. But I do know that, and sometimes some of the doctrine might be a little goofy in some of our songs. And as you're reading, as you think about it some, they might be, that's kind of a weird way to put it. But the majority, if not most things that you're going to sing, you're going to see things that will encourage your heart and encourage your soul. Though Satan should buffet, though through the trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. How can you not be excited about that? And as you're there, it keeps your prayer life a time of refreshing. It's a rejoicing time, and it's time of just singing unto the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 3. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. I mean, you think about that for a little while. That he didn't do just part of it. He died for all the sins of the world. Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Once again, it's a rejoicing time. You're singing to the Lord as you're supposed to sing to him out here, and you say, I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And as you're singing this to the Lord, it is a time of prayer. It is a time that you're communing to the Lord, and you're saying, Lord, I think you're worthy of all praise. I think you're worthy, and you begin to continue to sing. It is well with my soul. You go to verse number 4, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. And it's part of your prayer, Lord, I can't wait till you come back. And Lord, I'm just excited about, you know, and you can get excited about the scriptures, and you can be excited about the song. When's the last time you've been excited during your prayer time? And when's the last time you had a good conversation with God? But you get to those prayer promises and you say, man, God, you've given me these promises. I can have confidence. I can trust in you. You get to some of the singing time and you get to the spot where he said, oh, Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You think about the excitement that you can have during your prayer time as singing unto the Lord. And let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. It might have a little hymn that you write yourself. It might be something that's found in a hymn book. You can get a hymn book. You can't take the one in front of you, but you can have a hymn book. You know, you can get them really cheap at a thrift store. We have some older ones that we might even be willing to let you use one if you're going to use it for good things. You can look it up online if you have access to while you're there in your prayer time. There are things, and it is well with my soul. And that's I told the Lord, led. He says, we're only going to pick one of the songs that we use tonight. I looked at Draw Me Nearer yesterday, so I didn't want to repeat that one. But this one is well with my soul. I think this morning's song for me was How Great Thou Art. Man, just filled with doctrine and truth and so many great songs and prayers. And let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you don't not hearing from him, you know, pick the songs you know and that you love and just... You know, there are so many, from Amazing Grace to The Old Rugged Cross. You know all those words, but do you know what they mean? Do you take time and let the Spirit of God encourage you as you sing unto him? You know, Lord, it is well with my soul. I've seen how you've taken care of me. I am thankful how you've taken care of me. I see who you are. I see who I am. I've gone before you, interceding for others. I've brought my request to you. I am so thankful, Lord. I am going to sing unto you. Enter into his presence with singing. It's not something I'm making up. It's not something that someone's going to record you while you're doing it, whenever and however you do it. But it's a time where you just take a few moments and sing to the Lord. Take your opportunity and turn your face to God. Pretend as if you're talking to him. I'll close with this illustration. You ever had somebody that wanted you to focus on them when you're talking? I've seen a little kid take the dad's face and move it away from the newspaper and put it in and hold their cheeks like this and make you look at them because they want you to listen. And that's what our time here with the Lord is. We take our eyes off of everything else and we move our face. That's where that being still, that waiting at the beginning, focus on him. And as you focus on him, singing to him doesn't seem so out of the ordinary. Why? Because he deserves it. It might seem a little bit weird to you at the beginning, but to be honest with you, it's something that's exciting and invigorating and it's thrilling. And so it's going to help you finish out those last three steps that come, those last three stops. And we got three more stops. But can't you see how these different stops can help enhance your prayer life, encourage the quality of your prayer life? Spend time alone with the Lord. You say, well, I got it all figured out. That's great. Maybe you can help show me some of the things you do and encourage you. But the majority of us would say, I'm struggling. I can't spend 10 or 15 minutes without getting lost. I can't spend that much time alone with the Lord. My Christian walk is weak. You're not going to be a good Christian until you learn how to pray and learn how to have an extended time of prayer with the Lord and commune with him daily. That's what's going to encourage your Christian walk. The Word of God has a portion of it too, and the Word of God has a great portion of that, but we're talking about prayer now. Someday in the future, we might talk about how to study the Bible and help us understand those things. But I know a number of you have been encouraged by this. I'd encourage you, if you're struggling in your prayer time a little bit, take some of these things, let the Spirit of God lead you in the order, but take some of these things and try. And tomorrow morning, try singing a song. And like I said, if anybody really shouldn't sing, it would be me. But it's something there. Sing to the Lord and just see how the Lord, Holy Spirit, helps you with that. With a clean heart, recognizing who his God is and being thankful for all the things he has provided and done for you, just singing one song. Lots of times I sing a couple songs. Sometimes they're choruses. Sometimes they're newer songs. Sometimes they're older songs. Sometimes it's a variety of different things, because the Lord leads us and guides us in that. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Is it really too much to ask us to spend an hour of time with our Lord a day? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I pray tonight was a help.